desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Joe Montone, your host, and our show today is called Finding God in Prison. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for having me back on the air, and also for Frank Elias and for producing our show. And my friends, today's show is dedicated to all those who have lost a loved one recently and who now know what it means to lose a mother or father, a husband or wife, a sister or brother, or a best friend. My friends, today our show is dedicated to those who are sad because of the great loss they have suffered recently. And for those listening today, we pray that the Lord will remove all sadness, disappointment, or loneliness, and that He will lift you up and deliver the love of God into your heart and your mind, and that God will give you strength to endure through this difficult time, and you will persevere and go on, celebrating the wonderful memories that you carry within your heart forever. We ask this through the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. Amen. My friends, losing a loved one is never easy, and it is a difficult time. Coming up May 6th, 2021, it'll be 40 years since my stepfather, Dominic Montone, passed, and 40 years is a long time. But for those of you who have lost a loved one recently, the Lord wants us to bring comfort to you. And so today, as we focus in on the fourth week of Easter, we look forward to providing the message of the gospel with great comfort, especially for those who've lost loved ones recently. And we want to offer just a short prayer for those who are going through any testing this week because they have been possibly suffering ailments. People who are diagnosed with different ailments, or maybe have an x-ray that shows a spot on a lung or in a heart. And so we want to offer this prayer right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our eternal Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to come together as your sons and daughters, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for our blessings, our graces and gifts, and for all the blessings you have given us, we are grateful. Father God, we put our lives into your hands. We ask that you guide us and direct us through your Holy Spirit. What can we say but thank you for all that you've done for us? And we ask that you give us peace this week as we proceed to different doctor's appointments, different situations and circumstances that we're currently challenged with. We ask for peace and courage to persevere at these difficult times. And Father God, we ask that you remove the fear of the unknown and help us to get through these appointments. We ask that you circle us with good people who bring the love of God to us, the peace of God to us. And through the Word of God, we ask that you just lift us up, lift our spirits, and help us to proceed one day at a time, knowing that you are there carrying us all the way. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so if you're out there, my friends, and you're struggling with illness, it's just part of life, and I pray that God will bless you with a healing, that He will bless you with peace, and that He will circle you with good people to help you to get through it. Our hot topic for today, my friends, is focused on the great situation we have here in our nation, which was the Derek Chauvin, Officer Chauvin, who was found guilty of third-degree murder and in the George Floyd case. And, you know, this is a difficult time for our nation because it is not at rest. And there is a part of our nation who would like to undo the past. And unfortunately, we cannot do that. All we can do is go forward making great changes and to bring a lot of peace and tranquility to others. What we can do is try to implement what God says to do in our society and to treat others as they would like to be treated, practicing the golden rule. Very important, because for many decades and years in our nation, we know that there was segregation, which was very present, which is an inequality amongst people. And so today, and for many years since 1964, when the Nobel Peace Prize was given to Martin Luther King Jr., segregation was ended. And it's due to his efforts and the efforts of other people that we have equality, we have fairness, we have opportunity every day to do the right things for other people. And it's up to each and every one of us to truly, you know, stay connected to the Word of God so that we can implement those kinds of things that Martin Luther King Jr. was trying to do back in the 1960s, which is so important. And my friends, there are a lot of wonderful people in this world. There are a lot of wonderful police officers who every day are out there protecting other people. And he and the officers out there who are doing the job, like my dad, Dominic Montone, who will be gone 40 years come May 6, 1981, 2021. It'll be 40 years since he passed, but he was a police officer for 25 years. And there are a lot of wonderful officers who are out there who are doing a great job. And they should be encouraged and inspired, because they are in a tough position today, where we have the opposition out there trying to make them believe that all officers are racist, or all officers are against, you know, black people or other types of nationalities. But it's not true, my friends. There will always be, you know, people who have prejudice in their heart, and it's up to us to root that out through truly God's presence in their life. All things are possible with God. And it's critical that we understand that. And there will come a day when God is here again, and he will cleanse this nation and this world of racism and prejudice and pride and the superego and all the things that bring a disunity to our nation, all the things that bring isolation and separation instead of unity, which is what God calls us to. There will be division as we have it today. But truly, we have to do our part. And, you know, when an officer makes a mistake on the job, it's a sad thing. You know, when a pilot makes a mistake in the cockpit, you know, it's a sad thing, because he can lose an aircraft with 300 people on it. And this has happened. Pilots have made mistakes. Officers have made mistakes. School teachers have made mistakes. Presidents of the United States have made mistakes. And the list goes on and on. No one is exempt from mistakes, my friends. And that's why, you know, with each and every mistake, we need to gain wisdom. We need to proceed with a great plan of action that includes a list of mistakes that have been made in the past, and to avoid them in the future, which is so important. I know from working in aviation that in simulator training, we have crew members exposed to accidents that have already taken place, many times fatal accidents. and we try to help them to get educated so that the next time they will avoid that kind of incident or accident and avoid fatalities, which is the goal in the aviation industry, zero accidents, zero incidents, and zero fatalities. And it's very hard to do. But on the job, in the policeman's world, you know, they are faced with some difficult situations. And sometimes people can make mistakes. And there's no question about it. And, you know, we have to sympathize with this situation, you know, for the, without question, for the Floyd family. But we have to, you know, call it straight. The facts of the case are the facts of the case. And we have to, you know, try to learn from this situation and move on as a nation, move on as a community, and trying to move forward with a lot of peace. And try to minimize the damage and also to help people to move forward without disrupting the streets of our nation. This is important, my friend. So our hot topic for today is, again, the George Floyd case where he was killed in the street, you know, when an officer put his knee on the neck of Mr. Floyd for over 9 minutes. And, you know, he was in handcuffs, and you just, you know, you just can't be in a situation where you're imposing that kind of power over an individual on his neck. And however, you know, there is evidence also that Mr. Floyd had fentanyl within him, quite a bit. Fentanyl, you know, like heroin, is a great killer of people. We've had people in the Wings program who have overdosed on fentanyl. And, you know, Mr. Floyd also had a record. I believe he had 7 stints he did in prison. However, you know, it's not an excuse for the officer's, need to be put on the neck of Mr. Floyd while he was handcuffed and laying face down. You just can't, 2 wrongs don't make a right. And so police training is very important, as is aviation pilot training. And whatever you do in training is what it is you're going to do on the flight line or on the police line. And you never know what you're going to get out there in the field. Some people today, they're going to get burglars. Other people are going to have armed robbery. They'll have petty theft. Some will have robbing and running. And others will basically have a quiet day where nothing will be going on. They may be pursuing people selling drugs. There's all kinds of things that are taking place each and every day. And like aviation, where a pilot can see, you know, many wonderful flights, but today he might have an engine failure or an engine fire, or his landing gear may not come down. You know, these are things that come up periodically. But, you know, like the officers and the pilots, you know, we have situations that come up within our lives where we have to handle things properly. Some things, you know, are normal procedures. Other times we have abnormal procedures where we have time to figure out what we're going to do, such as a hostage case where you have time to consider and to get more information and to communicate with the people who are holding others hostage. And other times you have emergency situation where time is very critical and you have to react now. And so this is where, you know, you're really in a tight position. And if you make a mistake, it could be a life or death situation for that individual. And so my heart goes out to all of the policemen out there who are faced with those possibilities. And I know, because my father was a policeman and we had many policemen over for dinner. And sometimes, you know, there would be discussion about different situations. And I know from working inside prison for over 20 years with the Wings program, mentoring inmates in prison, and in doing that, you know, the stories are endless, and you just never know what can happen. I remember one day we were in a class of about 30, And a guy came in late, and he approached another inmate, and I asked him to come back here and to sign in for the class. And he looked at me, and he turned back to the guy, and he says, "It's time for you to go, bro." And with that, the guy looked up at him, and he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know what I mean." And he proceeded to attack that individual who was sitting down in the desk. Within a short time, a few seconds, another individual jumped in, and the two guys were basically pouncing on the guy who was sitting down in the desk, and there was a free-for-all. And all of the guys moved away from those three who were fighting, and within a short time, two officers came in with pepper spray and settled everything down. But there was a genuine attack, a stabbing in my classroom. And so I would say that would be equivalent to, you know, an emergency situation where it's a life that's on the line and you just don't know. And I left the classroom rapidly to get the officers who were about 20 yards down the hallway to come back in with pepper spray, because it was just me and 30 guys in the classroom and 30 inmates. So anything can happen. And, you know, so again, my heart goes out to the officers out there who every day go out to an unknown, and they try to prepare the best they can. And occasionally someone will make a mistake and you just never know. But for the most part, and I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, the officers out there in America are doing a great job of protecting our people. And it is not easy. But, you know, many of the officers that I know are faith-based officers, and they have integrated, you know, the golden rule in having to treat people the way they would like to be treated themselves. Very, very important. So, my friends, if you're listening today to our show, again, my name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at 1570 AM and 1420 AM. WISP and WCOJ here at Holy Spirit Radio. And our hot topic for today is the Derek Chauvin, case where he's been found guilty of murdering George Floyd. And, you know, this is a tough situation for our nation, because our nation is not at rest. We need peace. And whatever you can do, my friends, to bring the peace to other people, I encourage you to do it. Because right now we have some challenging situations, both in the political world and in corporate America, in the streets as well. And we need to bring as much peace as we can to other people. And through the Word of God and the peace of God, we can bring a lot of love and support to other people. And so I encourage you to reach out to our officers with a kind word and a little assistance whenever they need it, if it's called to, because they are human beings too. And again, although someone can make a mistake, we are called to forgive, you know, and that's what we do as Christians. But we also learn from the mistake, like the Lord said many times, you know, to go and sin no more. You are forgiven, but to go and sin no more. Let's not make the same mistake twice. Let's not do that. And so we're really learning, we're gaining wisdom from each scenario. And this case that's highlighted throughout America today, we have to learn from this, and we have to go forward. And we all have to learn from this. Our politicians have to learn. Our broadcasters have to learn. Okay, the people who are prepared to create destruction in the streets, you have to learn from this, my friends. We need peace in America. We also need God in America and God's way of doing things. And God calls us to bring peace to other people. Very important. And one of the things I've learned in going forward in faith is that, you know, we pray for peace in our own hearts first. And when we have peace, we can bring that peace to other people as well. But if we don't have that peace, then it's going to be very difficult to touch the hearts and minds of other people. So I encourage you to pray for peace in your own heart. Take the time to get on your knees and pray to God for peace in your heart, forgiveness in your heart. If you have resentment and bitterness, the spirit of unforgiveness, I pray that you will get on your knees and call out to God for peace. Ask him to show you how to do it, how to forgive others, how to go forward daily in forgiving other people, and to not live with resentment or the spirit of bitterness, but to bring the peace. You know, and this is important. We want to be peacemakers, and our nation needs it now. And as we go forward in the show today, my friends, I want to go into our readings from the upcoming fourth week of Easter, and this Sunday, April 25th, and we're going to be reading from the book of Acts. And here it is. By what power or what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled the Holy Spirit, answered them, leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all of the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, in his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become this cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Acts today, which is very powerful, the Lord tells us that in the name of Jesus, this man stands before you healed. It's a miracle. And the Lord performed many miracles. How many of us, my friends, have been healed in some way by the name of Jesus? Was it a physical healing? Was it a healing of the mind? Or was it a spiritual healing? I want you to think about that, my friends. If you've been healed by the name of Jesus, give us a call at 215-345-1570 and tell us the story. Again, 215-345-1570. Give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to share with you a miracle that took place in my life. It's actually a story about my mother, who today is 90 years old and in a nursing home. And many years ago when she was working, she was in her early 80s, about 81 maybe. And basically one day to the next, and she had worked 63 years before she retired. But one day to the next, she lost the use of her arms partially and was unable to lift both arms above her shoulders, meaning she couldn't reach up and get a glass out of the cabinet. There are things she could not do physically, and she called me and told me, I have a problem. And I said, well, let's see how bad, you know, this is, and tell me, what can you do, what can't you do? And so she was really in a position where she was frightened that she was, you know, coming down with some illness. We did not know what, and I didn't want to guess, but I had been working with people with cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, who had lost the use of their arms or legs. And for many years, I had been in that situation. But now here, my mom was faced with a situation where she was unable to continue working. And she was working at the time for Fortune Off up in Long Island, New York. So she couldn't work. And I said to her, have you prayed and asked God for a miracle? She said, well, I always pray. I said, no. Have you prayed to God for a miracle? Have you asked? I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to I want you to go to church every day. Go to Mass, daily Mass, and ask God for a miracle. Because there's no one else who can do it except God. And so she started going to daily Mass. And I said to her, I said, I want you to stay after the Mass and pray the rosary with the women who pray the rosary every day there. And be part of that group. And so she continued. She listened. And she went to daily Mass. She prayed the rosary daily in the church. And this went on for months. Concurrently, she went to a doctor and to a physical therapist, and she was still not working for a period of 6 to 7 months. But I tell you, in the fall, because this began in the late spring, in the fall, she began getting the use of her arms again. And by December, her arms were fully healed, and she was able to raise her arms once again. And again, my mom worked 63 years, over 63 years, worked for three companies. And she was faced for the first time in her life without the full use of her arms. And God, through his mercy, by the grace of God, she was given another opportunity to care for herself and to live on her own. And truly, in the name of Jesus, my mother today has still, at 90 years old, the full use of her arms. And this is important, my friends, because every day there are healings, but we don't recognize them. And we want to give all the glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ for giving my mom another chance to care for herself, to use her arms. Imagine life without your arms, how life would be. This is difficult situation. And I have worked with people who have had strokes and are 50% paralyzed and have not recovered. And I've worked with people who had MS and lost the use of their legs and then the use of their arms, and are now in the electric wheelchairs at places like English House on City Line Avenue in Philadelphia. And so, my friends, when you need a miracle, okay, the Lord says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened for you. Everything in God's time and in his way. It's not to say it's guaranteed, because God's ultimate will is his will. And if it's our time, it's going to be our time. But he says, you know, ask. He calls us to ask and you will receive. And we want to ask in faith, with a faithful heart. We don't want to have a faith that is up and down, high and low. Today we're faithful, tomorrow we're unfaithful. God's calling for a tremendous, you know, consistency of faith each and every day. And when we're in that category, God's mercy is just the greatest for us, because we're closest to God. We're not distant from God through sin, and we're in his grace. And that's where we want to be, my friends, in the good times and in the bad times, because nobody knows when those times will arise. Many years ago, we had a pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we had a bus trip with 57 people to Newburgh, New York. And we had people on there from South Philadelphia and North Philadelphia and Yardley and Bucks County and also Trenton, New Jersey. And we went up to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. The National Shrine of Our Lady Mount Carmel. And we just had a wonderful experience. And on this trip, one of the women from South Philadelphia shared with us that she had a daughter-in-law and a son who were suffering because they were unable to get pregnant. And so her daughter-in-law was unable to have a baby, and it had been about 2.5 to 3 years that they were trying to have a child. And unfortunately, it wasn't happening. And so on the bus trip, we prayed the rosary, and we prayed special prayers for her daughter-in-law and her son, for her family, that her daughter would have a child. And when we got to the shrine, we also, once again, prayed the rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And we prayed for her daughter to have a child at the shrine. And at this shrine, we also gave scapulars out of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I was a cantor on the altar and also a Eucharistic minister, but the priest had asked me to give scapulars out to the people. While he was giving the scapulars out, we both did. And when this woman from South Philadelphia came up, I gave her a scapular, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, give her another scapular for her daughter-in-law. And so I went back to the pew and I followed her and I gave her a second one for her daughter-in-law and her son. And basically, my friends, we had a beautiful day at the National Shrine of Our Lady Mount Carmel. We had a great luncheon there. It happened to be Blessed Mother's birthday. We had a sheet cake for Our Lady. We had breaded chicken and peas and onions and salad and just a beautiful luncheon. And when we got back on the bus, we prayed again for her daughter-in-law, and we went back and dropped everyone off. A couple of months later, this woman was on another trip with us to EWTN in Irondale and Hansville, Alabama. And when we arrived at the airport very early, Linda Berry said, one of the women here would like to talk to you. And when I approached her, she was crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, nothing is wrong. I just want to share with you some good news. And I want to thank you because my daughter-in-law is pregnant 3 months. And my friends, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, her daughter-in-law and her son were blessed with a child. And that child was born, about 9 months after the time we visited the shrine and prayed for her daughter-in-law to have a child. And in the name of Jesus, that child was born. And so, the name of Jesus is very powerful. And we want to call on our Lord when we need him the most, because he's going to be there. And God's word calls us to ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open for you. And no one is exempt from that, because the word of God is for everyone. And in the book of Acts, my friends, it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. He's the foundation on which Christianity sits. He is Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation through anyone else than Jesus Christ. Nor is there any other name under the heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Jesus is the only name. And we want to be clear about that, my friends. We're talking straight. We're talking very clear. We want to be transparent that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And he says it. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, there is no salvation to anyone else, nor is there any other name under the heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Jesus is the only name. And we think about the word Jesus, the name Jesus, it brings me back to the Gospel of Luke when the angel Gabriel first appeared to our Blessed Mother Mary, who we love so much. And he said, you have found favor with God, Mary. You will bear a son and his name will be Jesus. It was the Father's plan from the beginning, my friends. His plan for what? For salvation through the name of Jesus. Again, in the book of Acts, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name given to the human race by which you and I are to be saved. So we acknowledge this because it's the Father's plan for salvation. And our Blessed Mother Mary was part of that plan. Her yes to the Father allowed things to proceed, that she's going to have a son, and his name will be Jesus. And she will be the mother of Jesus. She will give birth to him. She will feed him and clothe him and care for him and protect him. She will see him through his life and through his death. And through the resurrection, we see the power of the Lord. But the name of Jesus, the holy and precious name of Jesus the Christ, is to be honored, praised, glorified. It's powerful. I want to transition, my friends, to the book of Revelations in our second reading now. And this is a great reading. Again, from Revelations chapter 7. And here it is. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated at the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived a time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The word of the Lord. In the book of Revelations, my friends, again, salvation comes from our God, who is seated at the throne and from the Lamb. And salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequences. And it's believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ. Salvation also is preservation or deliverance from harm or from complete ruin or loss. But what does salvation mean to you and I, my friends? I only ask the question because we are so busy engaged in earthly things. Are we aware of the fact that our time could come on any day? Are we ready? Are we prepared? Thanks to Jesus, we have an opportunity for salvation. But I want you to think about it, my friends. We're so engaged in earthly things. Are we preparing for eternity? Are we doing that? Or are we just going through life with one appointment to the next, with no focus on God? Time is of the essence, my friend, and nobody knows the time or the day. Only the Father knows. Very important. And in this reading, one of the things I want to bring out is the white robes. My Lord, you are the one who knows. He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And that's what Jesus does for us. He cleanses us of sin. He washes away all the dirt and sin, all the mistakes. He gives us opportunity to start fresh, to put on new clothing. There's a new Joe Montone you're listening to. You'll never see the old Joe Montone. He doesn't exist anymore. But today, the new Joe Montone is living for Christ, focused, trying to do the best we can for Jesus. But the Lord gives us opportunity to get renewed, refreshed, an opportunity to start again. He forgives us again and again and again, and no one is exempt. You may think you're exempt from sin, or this doesn't count. You may think that nobody's watching, but the Father knows. Everything we do, they hear every word we say and everything we do, even in private. And it's important that we know that. No one is exempt, but with Jesus, we have opportunity again to start fresh, to put on a whole new attire, a new personality, to get rid of the old and start new. A man once told me, you know, every day a man shaves. When he looks in the mirror, he sees himself and he knows where he's been. He looks at himself eye to eye and he knows exactly where he's been, what he's done. If he doesn't like who he is in that mirror, he needs to make changes. And if he doesn't make those changes, he'll keep looking at the same person that he doesn't like over and over again, and he'll die. So it's important, my friends, to make changes, and God gives us the opportunity to do that. Whatever those changes are, if you have to get rid of the alcohol, you have to get rid of the addiction, you have to get rid of the drugs, the power, the prestige, the money, whatever it is you're addicted to, materialism. God gives us a chance to start fresh, to start anew. And there's no cost to that. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus and to do things His way, His Father's way, not our way. We have to make Him number one. We become number two. And this is important, my friends. We only get one life to live. It's important that we treat it with great respect, with a sense of urgency, to make those changes today, whatever they are. If you're living with unforgiveness, bitterness, you need to make a change. You need to forgive. You need to embrace the Lord so He can give you the grace to forgive others. And there's no time like the present to do it. We're in the fourth week of Easter, and God is calling us to forgive other people. And the Lord once again showed us that at the top of the cross before He died, when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They killed the Son of God. They know not what they do. And the Lord Jesus is asking His Father, the Father of all mankind, the Creator of heaven and earth, to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. How many people do you know who have the attributes of the Lord, who can forgive to that level? There is no one, my friends. He is the role model for all of us to emulate, to become more Christ-like, to become more like Jesus Himself. And this is important. And with that, we're going to go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John. And this is today all about the Good Shepherd, from John 10. And here it is. I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why my Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And my friends, in the Gospel of John today, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. How many of us would lay down our lives for another man or woman? Think about it. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. He doesn't run away like the shepherd who is getting paid when the wolves come. The Lord stands firm to protect, to guide, to deliver the flock, to feed the flock, and to protect them. To love them, to give them all that they need. That's what the Lord does as the good shepherd. And the word says, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own. And the Lord is powerful. He's doing something that no one in the world has ever done. To lay down his life in order to take it up again. Part of the Father's plan of salvation. To make the point clear for the world that only Jesus has the power of life and death. Only Jesus has done it this way so that we can have reverence for the Lord, respect, a deep respect for the Lord, for who he is as the Son of God. And the Father is powerful. He says, I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So, in the gospel reading today, we see that the Lord truly clarifies how this was done. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that the Lord laid down his life by choice. He didn't hold back. He gave it all and more as he was beaten to a pulp and the nails. He was nailed to the cross in his hands and in his feet. The Lord gave it all. But in the reading here in the Gospel of John, it's clarified as to how this happened. It was designed as the Father's plan. Yes, the Lord suffered a great deal. Remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated drops of blood before he even suffered physically. He had the mental anguish, the pain of seeing up ahead what was to happen to him through his divine nature. And this is powerful because he still chose to go ahead with it. That's how much he loves the Father. That's how much he loves the Father. He wanted to please the Father, to do exactly what the Father designed in his plan for salvation. And the Lord did it for us, to give us opportunity for eternity with him in heaven. So the Lord and the Father are very powerful. And there are many people out there who don't know the Lord. And there are others who don't want to know the Lord, who walk away from the Lord. And we're going to pray a prayer right now for those people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our eternal Father, what can we say but thank you for the Word of God, which has opened our heart and our mind today to exactly how things were laid out for Jesus in your plan for salvation. Father God, we pray for those who have walked away from Jesus, who pull away because of bitterness or pride, ego, territorialism. Father, we pray for these people that the Holy Spirit will intervene and show them the goodness of our Lord, that they will open their hearts to accept and embrace the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God, through Jesus' name right now. Father God, we put them into your hands. We put their children into your hands, because as parents and grandparents, if they're not with the Lord, they may be against the Lord and negative role models for those children. So we ask, Father God, that you circle them with good people who know you, who love you, and who can lift them up by bringing them great love, great compassion, great generosity, great understanding, great patience, the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts and their minds so that they will warm up and eventually come to the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this is a powerful reading today, my friends. And there are many in the world who don't accept Jesus. We know. But we know that our faith, Christianity, comes from Judaism. We know that the Lord, our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, the Holy Family, coming from Judaism into Christianity through the belief in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who gave it all. We know how important it is for people to be spiritually aligned properly so that they don't end up without eternity. This is important. Again, this is the moment in time where we make a decision to go for God. We make a decision to go for Jesus. We give it all. We don't hold back, like the Lord, who gave it all in his passion and death. We too have to give it all to get to eternity with Jesus and our Father in heaven. We too must do it, and we have to be obedient, not just believers in Jesus. We have to be obedient in the everyday walk in life. It's very important, my friends. And with that, we receive the blessings of obedience while we are here on earth, which are very great, where the Lord from the book of Deuteronomy tells us, for your reward, for heeding these decrees, the Lord will bless you with the blessings of obedience. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children, your grain and wine and oil, the issue of your herds. He will bless you in your homeland where you were designed to live. He will bless you in your work, in your friendships. My friends, the Lord has so many blessings for us if we say yes to Jesus. Again, from our reading today, there is no other name but the name of Jesus under the heavens that is responsible for salvation. The word says there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under the heaven given to the human race by which you and I to be saved. Jesus is the only name. He is the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Don't get caught rejecting the Lord's name. Accept it, embrace it, live it, love it, and share it with other people because it's powerful. And remember, no one comes to the Father except through me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we're just about out of time today. I want to thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the program. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their opportunity to be on the air here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to thank Frank Eliason once again for his great work here at the radio station. And my friends, in the fourth week of Easter, may I say God bless you and your children. May God bless you in your homes, in your work, and may he give you the blessings of obedience. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.